What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 13th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy Friday, everybody. And were you there last night? Were you on the playback stream as we watched the live debut of Jacob Mizorowski? If you don't know about that playback stream, by the way, all you need to do is you have MLB.tv. You already have that subscription. You link in the subscription into playback, and now you can watch the game at the same time, synced up with me, with the entire PitcherList community. We're on stage. We can bring you on stage. And all of a sudden, there's a video talking about it, too. It is incredible. And we watched Jacob Mizorowski live last night. And it was so good. 5 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. That last walk was really not existent. It was not existent, okay? He pitched 5 innings. He had 3 walks. He came up for the 6th when we were surprised that he was. And then it was 3 pitches that were way out of the zone, as I was actually making a joke that he was going to walk the first batter on 5 pitches and then get pulled. And he got to ball 3. It was 3-0. And then as he was coming back, he twisted his ankle. And that's what we thought it was. But then apparently he was cramping and he's going to be okay and make his next start. So before then, what was this? Well, it's the best fastball in the game. And I mean that from a pitch metric side. That is the 7.5 extension is elite. It is Tyler Glasnow, Logan Gilbert, essentially, Sawyer Gibson Long. Those are the ones that have a 7.5 and above. It is 1.8 height-adjusted VAA, which is a super flat attack angle that is as good as Joe Ryan's. So if he's throwing this at the top of the zone, again, another way of saying, oh, cool, you have to time this perfectly. Oh, and he also throws 100 miles per hour. And the vert on it, the movement, is not like below average. It is average. It is 16 inches of vert, which is kind of nuts, too. It is the best fastball in the game. And then he also throws a slider that you can also call a cutter if you want. It's like 94 miles per hour, 95. Yeah, that is probably one of the best cutters in the game. He doesn't locate these, though, right? That's the problem, is how many strikes is he going to get on these 2 pitches? Oh, yeah, there's also a curveball, but that thing is not located, but it is so filthy. So that's the real question. We get obsessed with stuff. We say all these things about X, Y, and Z. But remember Matt Brash's curveball? It was the best thing ever, and he became a reliever because he couldn't throw it for strikes. Now, that was not as strong of an arsenal. This is the strongest set of 3 pitches I've seen. Actually, by the way, there is a 4th. There is a changeup at 90 and 92. He threw 2 of them. He threw them only to lefties. They're essentially in the same location, down and away, and off the plate away. But he got an 0-2 strikeout on it because, duh, of course he did. You're not expecting that kind of movement away. He doesn't have anything that goes in that direction, save for that changeup. It was nuts. It's just about, can you throw enough strikes? In this game, he did for the first 2 innings. It was 2 innings of perfect baseball. And he didn't. Then in the 3rd, walked the batter and they got a double play. It's something where it's going to be frustrating at times. He is a piece, a poor execution, awesome stuff. However, the stuff is just so good, and it wasn't like he was throwing 40% strikes. This was an MLB debut. He actually had like 80% strikes the first 2 innings, 75% plus, and then it fell down a bit, and it was probably like 50%, 55% the rest of the way. He's going to have those moments. He's going to lose these batters all of a sudden. He throws like 100, and it's just way out of the zone, and then he's struggling to get back into the count. I do like the fact that Mizorowski was leaning on that cutter more as the game went on, even though at the end of the day, it was a high strike rate, like 65% plus on the four-seamer, and then a lower one on the cutter. But you got to understand that the waste rate, the non-competitive rate on that fastball, was super high. So those balls were not like competitive balls, while the cutters were competitive balls, right? So a big difference there. He's able to also convert for some outs on that cutter. Jacob Mizorowski should be rostered in all your leagues. I don't know how long he's going to go into games. I think he's going to be babied in some way by the Brewers. Then again, they sent him out there for the 6th, which is just, I don't understand. I know it was a no-hitter. I get it, but no, you can't do that. And I have to think that he's not efficient enough to go through 6 innings with any sort of reliability. I really think he's just going to be a 5 and dive for the most part. And there'll be games when he goes 4 and change. And that's just how that is. So where am I at with Mizorowski? Adam, I think it's going to be some turmoil a bit. You're going to be really upset at times, but he's just too good. He should benefit overall. And also, my gosh, is he fun? It is so fun watching these 100 mile per hour fastballs and then these dumb cutters, and you just get the, like, batters don't know what to do. It's like 104 effective velocity on these fastballs with a flat attack angle. Oh my gosh, he's so good. Okay. Yeah, Tarik Skubalis is going to ace against the Orioles. You don't need me. He's amazing. Kodai Senga, oh gosh. 5.2 innings with 0 in runs and 5 strikeouts, 2 base runners. He was killing it. He was so good. He was locating splitters and cutters beautifully, and all of it was there. And then all of a sudden, he strained his hamstring. Apparently, he was hurting it before the play at first, where he had to overextend to get it a bad throw from Pete Alonso. But still, yeah, not fun. And at the very least, now it does solve the log jam problems with the Mets. You have Sean Manaea coming back and Frankie Montas on the horizon. Both of these guys in the next 2 weeks or so, I think. However, we didn't want Senga out. It's too bad. We're going to expect this for a little bit, like 4 to 6 weeks is typically, I think, the thing for a hamstring strain. I know, very, very rough. Seth Lugo against the Yankees. 5.2 innings of 0 runs. Props to him. 2 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. He avoided the heart of the play a lot. He just didn't give in. The curveball's looking good. Everything is nice. And honestly, he would have gone 6, but the rain showed up. He only had 73 pitches, and there was a rain delay, and there you go. You should be confident in Seth Lugo against the Rangers and the Rays for his next 2 starts. On the other side of it was Will Warren, who also went 5.2 innings of 0 runs. But wait, the rain delay can't happen at the same time for both pitchers. Right, they actually brought him out for the bottom of the 6th, which I don't really understand. And then they didn't let him finish it. I don't know. 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. It was a close game, and I get it, and maybe they like the matchup or something like that. Whatever. One thing I do want to note here about Will Warren, it's not that the four-seamer is looking pretty cool at 7 feet plus of extension and a 1.5 height adjusted VAA. This is for a guy who we didn't really expect to have a good four-seamer. It's actually the worst pitch of his is 4th. But now actually I can see how that works against lefties, and that's a huge, huge problem solved, as you have the sinker for righties, and you have a changeup and slider in between, and you also have a curve. It's really cool. So I'm a huge fan of Will Warren, also in the situation with the Yankees, and I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I think without the rain delay, Will Warren goes 6 innings. But you have to understand, too, that the overall ERA and WHIP wasn't looking so good lately. And I saw people be like, whoa, Will Warren's too high, or I don't know if I trust Will Warren. He was available on my waiver wire. I was like, what? Okay, I'll grab him in one of my leagues. And it's because of that. But the nuance, the context, recently he hadn't done as well because it was the Dodgers. What do you know? And then it was a careful Icarus against the Red Sox. He was actually pitching well for 5 innings and just didn't go well in that 6th. Like that, those little things make a huge, huge difference. And if you look at the skill set of Will Warren, yeah, this guy is made to be like a Michael King. I'm very much in on Will Warren moving forward. Dean Kramer followed Keegan Aiken and went 7 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 4 of those runs, that is all of them, were 2 home runs, a solo shot and a 3-run shot against the Tigers. Parker Meadows hit that last one on a high cutter, 94 mile per hour, 4-seamer maybe with cut action. But his splitter, oh man, that splitter. 16 for 42 whiffs. Oof. Destroyed lefties with this. He had 7 strikeouts with it, 5 outs in play as well. And then, of course, that stupid inning just ruined it. So 7 innings, 4 runs, right? And, ugh, he's Dean Werewolf. And it's just how it goes. It's just how it goes. You can't expect that that splitter to be there in the future also. 16 of his 17 whiffs. It's kind of funny. James Santino against the Pirates did good things. 6.1 innings of 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. I actually sent him the headshot of Jacob Mizorowski asking if it's his brother. He looks the same. It's fine. He did really well here. Had his Blake Snell blueprint working once again with 4 seamers up and changeups down against the lefties. Against righties, he didn't really have the best command. The cutter wasn't getting away enough. The sweeper wasn't as effective, etc. Yeah, James Santino is great. He has a good schedule. Everything is really cool. He might actually go against Mizorowski in his next start. I think they might be off one day because it might be a 6-man for the Cubs versus 5 with the Brewers now that Savali's traded. And quick note on that, Aaron Savali to the White Sox, as you guys probably know by now, for Andrew Vaughn. And that does solve the problems a bit for the Brewers. With Savali, he kicks out Mike Vassell. I believe it's a 6-man rotation there for the White Sox still. And I'm not a fan of Savali right now. You have a lower win chance there. They're going to let him go at least. So if you're in a quality start league, it might help. But of course, it's one. It's a 6-man instead of 5, which means you're going to get a few fewer starts, you know, for the rest of the way. It's like three or four you'll miss. And also, the breakers aren't looking good. That's a huge issue for me and Savali right now, is that I don't love the fact that Savali's really just going cutters and then some sinkers. And he does have some curves and sweepers, but they're not really that effective at the moment. And I need that to be better before I actually jump in on that train with Savali. But James and Tyone, I mean, we're just cruising with this, and that's great. We're going to talk about everybody else, from Andrew Heaney and Hayden Birdsong, and oh no, what happened to Bailey Ober? We're going to talk about all of them after this break. Framber Valdez, 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 12 Ks. You want me to give him aces gonna ace. I actually didn't even mention this inside the thing here. I can't, because two reasons. One, I want to see how he does against the Phillies in 2 starts. Okay, this was against the White Sox. He did get a golden goal of 20 whiffs and 36% CSW. And he does go to Sacre Verde, that is Sacramento next. But he also allowed 8 base runners. It was a 1.6 whip. And this is the biggest thing about Valdez for me. Like, he's still hittable and he had 12 strikeouts. Like, it's a stupid singer. A stupid singer is just too hittable. But yeah, a 1.6 whip is not what you want from an ace in 5 innings. Yeah. And a 3.6 ERA, but 12 strikeouts and a win. Fine. It's against the White Sox. Whatever. Andrew Heaney against the Cubs is the opposite of this. I mean, kind of. He had 4 hits in 6 innings, but it was 3 earned runs, and 7K is actually pretty good. Peelbot had this. And if you don't know about Peelbot, Peelbot is our projection system here. It is rooted in pitch level value. It is the only projection system you will find that actually understands the skills of hitters and that doesn't base projections on the results, but rather on the skills they showcased. And it's why I choose our PLV projections more. And it's just a great showcase of how good it is. We are tied in our daily streamers right now. Other projection systems I've beaten out during my pick a streamer every day. And Peelbot beat me last year, and we're even right now. And they picked Andrew Heaney here against the Cubs. I picked Davis Martin. So close. So 6 innings, 3 runs here for Andrew Heaney. He actually allowed a 2-run shot to Pete Armstrong that was, I think, the highest pitch he threw all day. It was out of the zone at 90 miles per hour, lefty on lefty. 2-run shot ruined the game, right? That's it. That's the difference, really, here. There's a Seiya Suzuki, a terrible changeup that deserved to be a solo shot. Fine. Up and away, it's 81, just like, there it is, go and hit this meatball. But he does get the Tigers next, Andrew Heaney. You never know what you're going to get. You don't know if he's going to actually have a good enough game with his slider and his changeup and locate his fastball well enough. He did get lucky here a bit with Koufax for some stuff too, but I mean, do what you want there with Andrew Heaney against the Tigers. Hayden Birdsong against the Rockies in Colorado, 6 innings, 3 runs, so you got your poor quality start, but 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks, didn't get the win. It's fine. The four-seamer, what people think is like this amazing four-seamer. It's not. Sometimes it does get that 17 to 18 inches of vert, and that's really what it was here, is 14 inches, which you subtract 3. I think it's 3.5 when you go into cores for vert. So fine. But 6.6 extension, and this was actually only at 94.8. So right around 95, but we normally see it 96, if not higher, from Hayden Birdsong, which is kind of weird. And it's about the breakers doing well, and they had sub 60% strikes on both the slider and the curve. I don't think he's that great. I actually just traded him away in a league for, Trevor McGill. Yeah. Trevor McGill, because Ty Lord McGill is the red starting pitcher, right? Of course, Dunnick. Yeah, because I'm like, all right, I need some saves, and I don't need to get Hayden Birdsong in my 12-teamer. So do what you want with this. He goes against the Guardians and Marlins, and that should be fine. But don't think of Hayden Birdsong as your big, overwhelming, amazing sauce play. Like, Mizorowski's way, way better than Hayden Birdsong, okay? Patrick Corbin against the Twins. You got to win, and guess what? That's 14 starts this year for Patrick Corbin. 0 of them have been above 300 runs, as he went 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Got the win. Absolutely ridiculous. Oh my gosh. I still can't believe that. That's wild. You're not going to start Patrick Corbin moving forward, okay? Like, 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks. Like, that. Those are terrible ratios. You got a win in 6 Ks. I'm happy for you. But no. Davis Martin against the Astros, he actually did really well, say for one inning of baseball being baseball. It was like, it was a single, I believe, on a good pitch, and then a walk, and then a double on a good pitch, and then a single on a questionable one. And that's three runs, essentially. It's like, oh, come on, man. That really ruined this entire start of six innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks for Davis Martin. And it was actually kind of interesting seeing him go against mostly righties. And the cutter was a little bit too far away off the plate, down and away, but it was still in the vicinity, so it was only 50% strikes. But generally, I dug it. And I think he's a pretty decent pitcher. He could be a streamer against the Cardinals. I'm going to have him up in a questionable start for that one. You have Michael Soroka against the Mets. 5 innings, 4 runs. I mean, it's the Mets. 6 base runners, 5 Ks. He gets Rocky Road next. I'm all for that. I think Soroka has a good curveball. It was a little bit worse than this one, relying too much then on the fastball and the changeup in the zone, that kind of thing. But I think that this is good. And this, I think the curveball will be better than the 53% strikes next time for Michael Soroka. Rocky Road, you should love it. You have Sonny Gray opposite Jacob Mizorowski. And it was 4 innings of pretty good baseball. And then the fifth really messed them up. It was just bad. It was a walk game, picked him off, and then a single, single, double, single, homer. Yeah, we move on. He gets the White Sox. That should be fine. Antonio Sensatella did Antonio Sensatella things. It was 4 innings of 7 runs and 9 hits and 3 walks and 2 Ks, and who cares? You do not start him ever. But Bailey Ober, 4.2 innings of 7 runs, 6 hits, 6 walks, 3 Ks. I believe in the chat they were saying, and I appreciate whoever said this, and I apologize, I don't remember, but that this is the first game, or maybe the second game ever, that Ober has had more than 3 walks in a game. He was clearly off. And he couldn't put his four-seamer upstairs, while also both the changeup and the slider were sub-50% strikes. And he actually told Aaron Gleeman of The Athletic that he's been dealing with a hip issue since the start of spring, which, oh boy, that's not good. He's saying that he was fine, but then he also said, but, you know, clearly I'm not. Oh, gosh. The slider has really been an issue, I think, all year. And this against the Rangers, more right-handed focused, it did maybe seem a little bit like, okay, you're not going to get what you want out of this one because he's going to have to lean more on the slider. He's better against left-handed focused lineups. Regardless, yeah, Bailey Ober's at 90 and change on the fastball, not 91 or 92 even. And I'd be a little worried starting him for his next outing. Even though it's in Cincinnati, that's not a good lineup. I don't know. I feel like Bailey Ober isn't that great for you. He's kind of a hipster at this point. And don't feel like you need to hold on to Bailey Ober if you have Jacob Mizorowski on your wire. Honestly, I'm going to have Sawyer Gibson Long ranked higher than Bailey Ober next week. Because, yeah, you can get the Bailey special back again. But I just feel like this hip issue is a problem. He should go on the IL for it, or he's going to continue to be kind of meh for the year. And Eno Saris was right. That's what I'm going to say. As he was out on Bailey Ober in the preseason. He didn't know about the hip issue, but still. Yeah, he was out on him in the preseason, and he's been very right, as he has been many, many a time. All right, that is it for today. Enjoy the Jacob Mizorowski YouTube video. If you didn't watch the debut yesterday, guess what? I'm going to be reviewing pretty much the entire outing. I'm going to do the entire outing after this podcast on YouTube. So if you want to watch me do that live, go to playback.tv/pitcherlist if you're watching right now live on YouTube. But enjoy that later today. Enjoy the weekend. Have a great weekend, guys. I'll be back doing this podcast, of course, on Monday. But until then, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.